You are listening to a sermon delivered to White Plains Baptist Church in Pomfret, Maryland. We hope that God speaks to you through this message. If you would like to know more about the church, you can find us on the web at wpbcmd.org and on Facebook at White Plains Baptist Church 1978.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel chapter 19. And we'll be starting in verse 31. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, you should find Bibles in the chair pockets around you. Second Samuel 19, beginning in verse 31. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogalim and went across the Jordan with the king to escort him across the Jordan. So this passage we're reading is coming, it is returning to Jerusalem after the rebellion that his son Absalom brought against him has been defeated. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old, and he'd provided the king with supplies while he stayed in Mahanaim, for he was a very rich man. And the king said to Barzillai, "Come across with me, and I will provide for you while you're with me in Jerusalem." But Barzillai said to the king, "How long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I'm today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be a further burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king, and why should the king repay me with such a reward? Please let your servant turn back again, that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and mother. But here is your servant Chimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king and do for him what's good to you." And the king answered, "Chimham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him what seems good to you. Now whatever you request of me, I will do for you." Then all the people went over the Jordan, and when the king had crossed over, the king kissed Barzillai, blessed him, and he, Barzillai, returned to his own place. Let's pray. Father, we are alive again today. You've given us this gift, Lord. Another day. And we thank you, Father, not only for the days of our lives that you give us, but for the ways in which you provide for us during those days. We thank you, Father, most of all for the provision that you've made for us in the sacrifice of your Son, that we might find your forgiveness and the acceptance and the promise of forever with you when our days on this earth are over. Father, I thank you for those gathered in this room this morning. I thank you for the opportunity we've had to express our worship to you in song and in prayer. I thank you for the chance now that we have to continue that worship, Lord, as we look into your word and as you speak to us. I pray, Father, that you would set a guard over my lips, that I would say those things that are right and true, and that you'd be exalted among us today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we're told that we as Christians were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That means that before you were ever a Christian, before you were ever even born, God had already decided the ways that he wanted to use you in the world. All the ways in which he wanted to use your life to touch the lives of those around you. You were created for good works, the Apostle Paul reminds us. Which means God wants to use our lives as vessels through which to accomplish his good purposes in the world. That doesn't mean, by the way, that God needs us to accomplish his purposes. God's purposes always prevail, and God can accomplish his purposes with or without us. But the Bible's clear in letting us know that while God doesn't need us in order to accomplish his purposes, he still wants to use us to allow us to have a part in all that he's doing in creation. Do you remember before when we've talked about the difference between ultimate cause and proximate cause? The proximate cause is the cause nearest to the happening of something. The ultimate cause is the first reason that something happened, the originator of the chain of events that led to something happening. If any of you have ever seen those domino demonstrations on TV or the internet, where they've had those thousands of dominoes set up in all these intricate patterns, you see an illustration of proximate and ultimate cause. What is it that causes the very last domino in the pattern to fall? It's the domino right before the last domino. The domino behind the last domino falls and topples the last domino. So the domino before the last domino is the proximate cause of the last domino's falling. But it isn't the ultimate cause of the last domino's falling. The ultimate cause is whatever caused the first domino in the chain to fall. Let me give you another illustration. Suppose Leonard wants to give money to someone, but he wants to do it anonymously. So he gives the money to Toby to give to the person because Toby is good friends with this person to whom Leonard wants to give the money. Toby is the proximate cause that the person gets the money. He's the one that actually hands the money to the person. But Leonard is the ultimate cause because he gave Toby the money to hand to the person. And really, Leonard isn't the ultimate cause because God is the one who enabled Leonard to have the $100 to give to Toby, to give to the person. That's why in the scriptures we are repeatedly reminded to give thanks to God for our health, our homes, our jobs, our children, our clothing, our food, to give thanks to God for everything because God is the ultimate cause of everything good in the world. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So God is the ultimate cause of everything good that happens in our world. He doesn't have to use us. He can use whatever means or proximate cause he chooses to use. But the Bible's still clear that God wants to use us, that he wants us to share in all that he's doing in the world. So then the next question may be, why? If God doesn't need us in order to accomplish his purposes, why should he even use us? He could probably do it better if he just did everything himself. That way there wouldn't be any way we could mess it up. Well, maybe I can answer that question with an illustration. Several years ago, I was going to visit with my mom, and she was going to make some cookies for me. And my nephew Joshua, who was a little boy at the time, was staying with my mom, and he wanted to help my mom bake the cookies. When I arrived, there was flour on the table, flour on the floor, flour in Josh's hair, flour on his clothes, and a big smile on his face. And the first thing he did was run up to me and tell me that he and Mama had baked cookies for me. Now, why did my mom let Joshua help her bake cookies? She could have made more perfectly shaped cookies, and she could have made them faster on her own. My mom let Joshua help her bake cookies because she wanted Joshua to understand that he was important to her, that she loved him, that he had significance and worth in her eyes. That's why, even though it took longer and the job wasn't done quite as neatly as it could have been done, Mama let Joshua help her bake cookies. Why does use us if we are not absolutely essential to his getting things done. It's because God wants us to understand that we're important to him, that he loves us, that we have worth and significance in his eyes. And so he allows us to be a part of what he's doing in the world. So parents, you can learn a lesson here from God, who after all is the perfect father. If you want to invest your children with a sense of worth, then you need to let them participate with you in what you're doing in the world. Does Daddy need Johnny to help him fix the leak under the sink? Not really. In fact, Johnny's help is probably going to mean it takes Daddy longer to fix the leak. And sometimes Daddy really may not have the time to let Johnny help. But if Daddy really loves Johnny, and if he's thinking about Johnny's future, there needs to be those times when Daddy takes the extra time and the extra trouble to let Johnny help. Does Daddy need Johnny to help him go fishing? Of course not. Fishing trips with Johnny are probably going to mean more trouble for Daddy. I remember when I was about 5 or 6 and I went fishing with my dad and my grandfather for the first time. I got my fishing line tangled up in the trees while I was trying to cast. I caught a boot, and I ended up falling in the river. Needless to say, my dad and grandfather didn't get a whole lot of fishing done that day. But you know what they did accomplish? They let a little boy know that he was important, that he could do big people stuff. And to this day, that remembers. Parents, before, and I know I'll say it again, the time you spend with your children, allowing them to be a part of your life, is more important than all the material things you can give them. They'll remember those times. Those times will be more significant to them than the video games and the toys and the clothes, which will end up in garbage dumps one day. God created us with a need to be a part of what's happening in the world. He created us with a need to help us, a need to do good works. Little kids are always wanting to help. But that vestige of Eden won't last in your children forever. Somewhere along the way, that desire begins to change, and we humans begin thinking more about ourselves than about others. So Johnny no longer wants to help Daddy fix the leak, unless there's something in it for him personally. Susie no longer wants to help dust the furniture. As sin grows in our lives, we drift farther and farther away from what God intended for human beings. And so what we were anxious to do as children, God has to remind us we need to do as adults. He does that by coming out and expressly telling us in his word what we need to do. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you, Jesus said. Do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works. God also encourages us to do good by giving us examples of others who did good, which is what God is doing in the passage we opened up with this morning. In 2 Samuel chapter 19, David is returning to the throne in Jerusalem. David's son Absalom had rebelled against him, and David had fled the city because he didn't want the war between Absalom himself to bring destruction to the city of Jerusalem and to the temple. So he left the city. One of the men who had been instrumental in providing for David and protecting him during the rebellion was a man named Barzillai the Gileadite. Gilead was the mountainous region east of the Jordan River to which David had fled when he left Jerusalem. It was about actually 50 miles from Jerusalem, the city in which he was living, Regillum. The area had been actually favoring King Saul's son Ishbosheth for king after King Saul had died, but when David king, the people of Gilead became extremely loyal to David. That's why during the rebellion he goes to Gilead. And so verse 31 begins, and Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogalim, that's where David had been, one of the cities in Gilead, and went across the Jordan with the king to escort him across the Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old, and he had provided the king with supplies while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very rich man. And the king said to Barzillai, come across with me, and I will provide for you while you are with me in Jerusalem. Barzillai said to the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I'm today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be a further burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king, and why should the king repay me with such a reward? So Barzillai had done a good deed. He had protected the king and provided for the king while the rebellion against the king was going on in Israel. But I don't think that's the reason Barzillai got his name in this book. I think the reason that we're reading about Barzillai in the Bible is because of the attitude he displayed when he helped the king. There's something about the way Barzillai helped the king that God wants us to pick up on. Did you ever have someone do something for you, helping you out in some way, but you knew they were expecting to get something in return? They weren't doing it out of pure motives. They weren't doing it because they really wanted to help you necessarily or because they loved you. They were doing it in order to get something. They were giving in order to get. Well, God doesn't want that to be the primary motive behind the good things that we do. And that wasn't the motive behind the good that Barzillai did. So when David was about to be restored to the throne in Jerusalem, he wanted to help Barzillai. And the king said to Barzillai, come across with me, and I will provide for you while you are with me in Jerusalem. This is actually a very great privilege he's extending to Barzillai to basically live in the palace, to eat from the king's table, to have the king provide for him. And Barzillai, in a very diplomatic way, basically turns the king's offer. And I think that must have seemed strange to King David, because David had needed the help of a lot of people during that time, and many of them had probably helped him with hidden motives. I mean, think about it. David has been king of Israel. Now there's an uprising against him. He's on the run, and you're in a position to help him. And so the wheels start turning. David's probably stronger than his son Absalom. He'll probably be back on the throne one day. And if I help him now, it might not be such a bad thing. I'm sure there were a lot of people who helped David during this time, not because they necessarily loved King David, not because they just wanted to do something good, but because they were trying to gain some political favor. I mean, isn't that what we're so concerned about with our politicians today? Isn't that why we try to limit campaign contributions and require disclosure of who gave what to whom? Because we know that so often people give to politicians because they're expecting something if those politicians get into office. So when you're a person of power and influence, or in the case of a political candidate, potential power and influence, a lot of people want to help you because of what they potentially see in it for them. And David was certainly a person of power and influence. He was king. And it may have been self-interest that motivated many of those people who helped King David during the rebellion. But that wasn't the case with Barzillai. So the first thing we can learn from Barzillai's example is to do good for others without the expectation of getting something back in return, which is, in fact, in line with what Jesus taught. If you go to Luke chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to get received back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he, speaking of God, is kind to the unthankful and evil. There's a second attitude we need to pick up on in Barzillai as well. So go back to 2 Samuel 19, verse 33 with me. And the king said to Barzillai, come across with me, and I'll provide for you while you're with me in Jerusalem. But Barzillai said to the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I'm today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be a further burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king, and why should the king repay me with such a reward? Barzillai's attitude is, I haven't done anything exceptional. I haven't done anything worthy of being repaid. I've only done what was right. I've only done what I should have done. And that attitude is actually more impressive to me than the fact that Barzillai did what he did without the expectation of getting something back in return. Because when we do something good, we sometimes act as though we're deserving of the Nobel Peace Prize. We may not have done the good with the expectation of material gain, but you better believe there was a little expectation of some emotional gain out of the experience. We want some appreciation. We want some people to recognize what a sacrifice we made or how much trouble we went to. But the Bible tells us that when we do good, we should never do it with the expectation of being commended for it. At least being commended by other human beings. Look in Luke chapter 17. And by the way, I'll bet this isn't your favorite parable, because the truth it contains is not a truth we particularly want to hear. Luke 17, verse 7. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you've done all those things which you're commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. I mean, if you're a servant, it's your duty to wait on people. And so if you're waiting on people, you're simply doing what it's your duty to do. Why should you expect to be commended for it, Jesus says. And he's not talking there about the fact that we shouldn't be grateful to people for what they do. He's talking about that when we do it, we shouldn't have that as our expectation, that we're going to get all this appreciation and recognition. So first of all, when we do good, when we help out, we need to do it without the expectation of getting something in return. Secondly, we shouldn't act as though we've done something exceptional. Whenever we do good, we're only doing what's expected of us as God's children. And then thirdly, we need to always be looking around for opportunities to do good. You see, that's one of the problems with doing good when you're expecting something in return, even if it's just a thank you or a pat on the back. If you don't get that return, you'll probably eventually stop doing whatever good it was you were doing. After all, what's it getting you? But that is not what God is like. God is always doing good. Did you ever notice that everywhere Jesus went, he was doing good? In Matthew chapter 4, Beginning in verse 23, we're told, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Wherever Jesus went, he was always seeking to undo the brokenness of the world. He had come into the world as the light of the world. He had come into the world as the life of the world. And everywhere he went, he was illustrating that. Well, not only does the passage we read from 2 Samuel 19 tell us about the good that Barzillai did for King David, it also tells us about the good he did for another person. After turning down the king's offer, Barzillai continues in 2 Samuel 19, verse 37. "Please let your servant turn back again, that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and mother. But here is your servant Chimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king and do for him what seems good to you." Now there's dispute as to exactly Chimham was. Josephus tells us that Chimham was Barzillai's son, which seems to be confirmed in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 7. When David is dying, he's giving his closing instructions to his son Solomon, and he mentions Barzillai there. He says in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 7, "But show kindness to the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table, for so they came to me when I fled from Absalom your brother." Other commentators say, no, it wasn't his son, it was one of his servants. But regardless, this is someone other than Barzillai for whom he's extending David's help. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." That means we should be thinking about other people all the time. We shouldn't be just thinking about ourselves. We shouldn't just be self-absorbed. Galatians 6:10 reads, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith." And so he's telling us there that our first priority is to our fellow believers in Christ who have need. But beyond that, anyone who has need. And you know what will happen if we do our good deeds with the same kind of attitude as Barzillai? It will make an impact on people. Look in 2 Samuel 19, verse 38. "And the king answered, Chimham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him what seems good to you." Now notice that earlier Barzillai had said there in verse 37, "Here's your servant Chimham, let him cross over with my lord the king and do for him what seems good to you." But when the king answers Barzillai, he says, "Chimham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him what seems good to you. Now, whatever you request of me, I will do for you." Then all the people went over the Jordan, and when the king had crossed over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his own place. That's significant, that the king kissed Barzillai. Because it's all he could really give him, right? Barzillai hadn't accepted anything else, and yet he'd been such a help to King David. The protection, the provision he'd given. And see, that attitude was so impressive to King David that not only is he going to help the servant Chimham, he kisses King Barzillai and blesses him before he leaves. If we can do for others because it's the right thing to do, without the expectation of gain, without even the expectation of a thank you, just because it's the right thing to do, just because we're the children of a God who always does good, That gets people's attention. Because that is not the way that most people in the world operate. Let's pray.
If you would like to know more about us, you can find us on the web at wpbcmd.org and on Facebook at White Plains Baptist Church 1978.